Let's go. Yeah, hello Mood. We'll probably talk about some things we talked about yesterday. The first thing is, I think everyone who will hear this knows Forchan. How the fuck did Forchan get so famous?
That's a good question, actually.
I mean, you were at something awful.
The way the site started was I was a user of something awful, and they have an anime sub forum called ADTRW, and in that sub forum there was a Direct Connect hub that had its own IRC channel, so it's kind of like tangentially related, but not directly related. And these people were users of a website in Japan called Futaba Channel, and so I was introduced to it through them, and it was an image board. And at that time, image boards weren't really well known outside of Japan, and so I took their code, which was freely available, and I threw it up on my own hosting and shared it with these people in this IRC channel, and you know, everything kind of went from there. It's grown organically from that. You know, it's all been, you know, word of mouth, and I think one of the ways it spread very quickly to start with was, you know, people love sharing images, and so people would just, you know, paste links, you know, usually on the random board to their friends, and then, you know, they'd look at the image and they would just kind of like chop off the, you know, /store/ 123.jpg and then say, oh, hey, it's a forum, and started using it that way. So.
Okay, so there's no major events, because many bloggers who attend this event have major events like Spreeblick, for example, from Johnny, and they had one time they were blogging about Jamba, a company that does ringtones, and they got many hits on this article alone, and many readers stayed. So there's no major event or something like that.
None pop to mind. You know, I've more recently, over the past year, we've gotten more press, and so I'm always curious to see when we get press. You know, does the bandwidth spike? Does Google Analytics show any sort of spikes in terms of visits or, you know, page impressions? And we don't often see that, actually. It's rare to see any sort of spike, even after, you know, being linked on the Wall Street Journal or something. Even after we were featured on the front page of Wikipedia for, I believe it was January 14th, so there were more referrals coming from Wikipedia when you track that, but still the page impressions didn't really spike. So
is that because you have so many users that it doesn't really count?
I think that's what it is. I think it's, you know, kind of a drop in the ocean kind of thing. It's
like
hard to detect.
Pissing into a sea of
piss. Exactly.
Yeah. So the next thing, the meaning of Forchan to society. How do you see it? I mean, it's obviously a meme hub and used to foster and spread memes. So how do you see it? And do you think that is in any way needed, like from a cultural point of view?
I don't want to get too deep here, but I think 4chan is, maybe not 4chan, but anonymous BBS in general are an important thing to have around. I think they provide a really healthy outlet for people, and you know, I get a lot of email, and some of the email is negative, and some of the email is very positive, and just people, and the kind of common theme between those emails are people are thanking me for providing them with a place where they can go and share, share things on 4chan that they might not share with their friends, their family, and their colleagues, and I think that's just a healthy tool for certain things like that. But I don't know if 4chan really has any sort of societal relevance past just being a big community. I don't think we're really changing.
I didn't mean relevance. I mean, is it necessary? I think it's probably necessary because if it wasn't this, it wouldn't have been such a hit. And people wouldn't try to make image boards false chan style.
Yeah, to make thousands. Yeah, so I guess I would agree with you in that sense. But
okay.
I think it met the need of a lot of people, and that's why it spread.
Okay, and so do you still spend time browsing on 4chan when you're not, active in the sense of moderating or messing with people's heads? Do you still
outside of administration
in your free time?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm whenever I'm on my computer, I've always got Firefox open, and I've always got a tab of 4chan open.
Okay.
I don't sit around usually actively refreshing for hours on end, but I've always got something open, and, you know, between emails and between, you know, reading the news or something, I click over and I refresh and I read it quickly and I go through a thread, maybe go through a few pages and, you know, come back to it in an hour. So over the course of a day, I would say I at least spend a few hours on my site, and, you know, that's just browsing. You know, in addition to that, you know, moderating is still something I do actively, so.
So is there any favorite bots you have?
I mean, most commonly I'm random. Well, some people don't expect that. Some people, you know, I don't know how this rumor got started or why people started believing this, but they all claim that, you know, I don't use Lyft anymore, which, you know, couldn't be further from the truth. Or they say that I guess some journalists have said that I'm, you know, quick to distance from the content, so I don't associate with, or I don't find the content to be interesting, and that's not true either. I mean, I try to distance the site from some of the extremes that people see on B, because, you know, those are few and far in between, and I don't want people to get the impression that it's all about extremes. But, you know, I still identify with a lot of the humor, and I enjoy browsing the board, and that's why I'm on it for, you know, at least an hour or two every day. Random is kind of the life force of the site, and it's kind of the gateway drug to the site, too, I feel. And I think a lot of people come in through random. They're like junkies, you know, they're diehards, and then they finally, it's like there's this one day they just go, oh, wow, there's other stuff on this website, and they kind of go to the other board and start using those. But
okay, so how much time do you spend working, like administrating or programming in a week on Fortune?
In a week?
Yeah. Maybe if you can break it down to a day, but I usually can't programming break down to a day.
It's really tough to say because it changes constantly. You know, when I first started the website, I was spending, you know, I was 15, I was in high school, and I was spending, I was, you know, up every night until 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and so I was spending at least, 6-7 hours a day just either writing stuff for the site or playing with the code or moderating and also browsing. And, you know, as years have kind of gone by, you know, I've gone through cycles where, you know, I'll start doing a lot of work and I'll spend, 8 hours, 9 hours a day just, you know, working on things. And then I'll go through kind of periods where, you know, it's an every other day and not as often. Like the most recent kind of binge that we did, I flew my programmer up from his home to stay with me in New York, and we did a 2-week, you're familiar with Google Summer of Code? Do you know Google
Summer of Code? Well, Sean is at Google.
No. You're familiar. No, so,
I'm familiar with that.
So I called it, and I kind of referred to it as, I said, you know, Summer of Code, you know, we can do the same thing. We'll just call it Winter of Pain.
That would be a very cool thing.
That
attracts developers.
Yeah, well, so the first, the inaugural Winter of Pain was just me and my developer, and we spent like 12 hours, more than 12 hours a day just working on the site. And I re-imaged, you know, 7 servers, six servers, you know, did like full operating system reinstalls and reset them up and kind of changed a little bit about the architecture. He did a lot of programming. We got a lot of work done. So that's an example of where, you know, in that week I spent literally over 100 hours working on the site. But maybe the week before that it was like, you know, 5. So it really kind of varies drastically.
What features came up with the Winter of Pain?
I have to think. We switched over. Oh, geez. The most.
No end user thing.
No, actually, I don't think there was many front-facing changes. It was mostly back-end stuff. I'm trying to think of something that you might have noticed. We changed the way pages rebuild, and so that coupled with the operating system improvement, we went from FreeBSD 5.5 to 7.1 release. I think it was like RC2 at that time, but release came out that like halfway through. So going from actually FreeBSD 5.5 to 7.1, they made so many improvements that one, our server that runs CGI.4chan, which is like a lot of the adult stuff, went from pushing 200 megabit speed to after the reinstall 400 megabits a peak within the next day, 24 hours. So that's really the major change that was done with the operating system. That alone doubled its throughput. So we got a pretty, and I think, you know, the latency, we were able to kind of like drop latency on page loads and also speed up page rendering time, because we did a lot of, you know, we ran YFlow, you know, Firebug. We just did a lot of little things that I think made the overall kind of browsing experience, you know, faster, so it's better now. But there really wasn't much in terms of, you know, front end changes that users would see.
So are there any front end changes planned? I think I asked you that 2 days ago, but
There, you know, it's, I would have to look at the to-do list. There are a lot of things on the to-do list, and there are certainly things that we want to do. One thing that I've been thinking of recently has been creating a new kind of page view or a way to browse the boards, because on the high volume boards, you know, high traffic boards like B, and now actually the anime board A, you know, B and B are getting quite fast, you know, maybe 30 posts per minute, so, you know, a post every other second. So they're about as fast as B was maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, which is, you know, they've got some substantial traffic on their own now. They're like almost like mini Bs, and so it's becoming increasingly frustrating for, you know, myself, and I'm sure for everybody else, to browse these boards, because it's very hard to track content over time. And although it's great that, it, you know, again, I truly believe in, you know, keeping things fresh. I love the low retention, but at the same time, it's annoying that it's very hard to follow threads unless you're opening, you know, each new thread in a new tab
and
refreshing constantly. And one kind of solution to that is that Firefox, and you and I spoke about this yesterday, I guess, the Firefox extension, and there's a thread washer where you can flag a thread and it'll keep it in this kind of queue until it falls off the board. You know, maybe building some sort of functionality like that into the site, like a native functionality where you can maybe flag a thread and have that without actually installing the Firefox extension. So, I mean, there are a lot of things we could do in terms of, you know, features like that, but it's just a matter of prioritizing them and finding the time to implement them, which is, you know, is a constant struggle.
Okay, so the next thing is, as a website owner, you do have experience with authorities and bomb threats and child pornography, and what do you think of the censorship plans that are surfacing in Germany, in Australia? I mean, you've probably read about it on Flashdot. Do you feel that 4chan will be on the list too? I mean, dentists are on the list.
Who?
Dentists.
Really?
An Australian dentist was on the list because crackers cracked his site and did child pornography on it several years ago. And he got it back in 3 days or something, and now he's still on some censorship list. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm familiar with what's happening in Australia. I wasn't really aware of what was happening in Germany until, you know, I came to this conference and I, you know, heard about it from Marcus. I've heard about it from a lot of different people. And it's scary. And I think I'm more afraid of it as, not actually as a website owner, but as a user, or as like anybody else, as a user of the internet. I think it's terrifying that, you know, governments are talking about implementing, you know, nationwide filtering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the case of Australia, you know, the question of us being, you know, are we on the list? You know, are we afraid of being put on these lists? We are on the list in Australia, actually, according to the one that was leaked. You know, WikiLeaks is on it.
Only subfaults like B or the whole site?
I believe it's the whole site. And actually, another list that we're on is this one maintained by the Internet Watch Foundation. Actually, I don't believe we're still on this list, but so the Internet Watch Foundation is a organization, I think it's based out of the UK, and, you know, they, you know, as such that list that they think, you know, sponsored like child abuse or, you know, whatever.
Yes, they don't like,
pretty
actually.
Much. And, but the ISPs in the UK, like BT, I think is one of the biggest, and there's another one that I'm forgetting.
They subscribe to this?
They do. And so at one point they were blocking B, and not only that, but they petitioned Google. They send in, you know, those, I don't know what the kind of request it would be, but they send their list to Google, and Google omits random still for years now.
What?
From the search ranking. If you search for B random, if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see
it. Probably get ED?
Yeah. Well, you don't get 4chan. At the bottom of the page now, you see it says something like 2 or 3 search results omitted. Click here to find more, and it sends you to Chilling Effects, which is a Berkman website, you know, from Berkman.
And then you can search in a different version of Google, and some companies they censor and some they don't.
Yeah, and so it links you to the IWF complaint, and they still, and I've actually appealed this twice now, you know, saying, look, we're not on this list anymore. It was a misunderstanding, basically. You know, we shouldn't be on that list. We're not on that list, and we'd like for you to re-include us into your search.
And they don't because they don't care, or because they do care and don't like.
I think it might be either. You know, it's hard to say with such a large company.
Yeah, but did they answer?
No, they've never answered.
Okay.
So it's kind of fallen into the black hole of Google.
It's like submitting bug reports to Apple.
Yeah.
Okay. But other things you've appealed, I mean, the British Telecom did set you free?
Yeah, once we were taken off of that list, I think, you know, actually,
Providers have, I mean, they have lists of Swedish?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But I'm certain that we're not on the block on BT anymore.
Okay. Yeah, so...